It's time for the August 7th, 2015 edition of Weekly Signals Weekly Review, a cheerfully pessimistic recollection of the last 168 hours of history. This is KUCI 88.9 FM, Irvine, California. I'm Nathan Callahan.
And I'm Mike Kaspar.
This is not-for-profit news, and that lovely animal barking on the hillside is Mahler.
That is your description. That lovely animal thing.
The anadromous dog.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a bone to pick with him.
Oh, man, he's been a bone.
Yeah, he's
a
been,
bone.
He's been a pill all week.
Don't pick a bone with that guy.
No, he's been a pill all week. Yeah, you have. So I'm just saying it out loud.
How come a pill?
He just has been.
Today we'll be talking about bankers in jail, Jewish extremism, nude beach closures, Jack the Ripper, drone drugs, Ag-Gag, Joe Biden, Huckleberry Finn, and more. But first, snowpack levels through the Pacific Northwest are historically low, and temperatures are historically high in the Pacific Northwest, which means sockeye salmon are in trouble. That's a big industry up there, the salmon.
It's a huge industry in the Northwest.
Yeah.
So sockeye salmon?
One of the more than 507,000 salmon that have passed through the Bonneville Dam. Out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made a mistake there.
Out of the 107,000.
Out of those 507,000, 235 have died because of
235,000. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking in thousands now.
Okay,
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Maybe I ought to have another.
No, it's all right. Yeah. Now have a swig.
Another drink of this.
Swig.
Magical elixir.
Okay. Yeah.
A number that the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Fisheries calls unprecedented. So nearly half of the salmon have died up there. The water temperatures in the Columbia River are nearing lethal levels now for salmon. They're about 7 to 10 degrees hotter, the water itself. And that's, you know, if you're a salmon, you're used to a certain temperature, and this is a sustained heat. So, as I spoke earlier, Mahler being the anadromous dog, anadromous.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, you go out in the ocean.
Oh.
Yeah, to just spend your life pretty much, but then you go into fresh water to spawn, which is exactly what Mahler does.
Well, yeah. You know what? I've seen him. I've seen him attempt to spawn.
Yeah.
And it's really not that pretty. No, I don't think he will.
No. I've had to pull him away from people sometimes when he's trying to spawn.
His spawning techniques leave a lot to be desired. By the way, that is an amazing fact. Amazing natural fact that you just
About the salmon?
About the fact that they live in salt water.
Yeah. Oh, that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they come to fresh water. That's
what's up with that?
That's generally pretty deadly for almost any species. How do they do that?
It would be like if we held our breath while we spawned.
Something like that. Yeah. Wow. And then they swim upstream. And it's not like they just come into some pond somewhere and just hang out and drink, you know, have a couple of drinks
to get to where they're
going.
No,
they have to really want it. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, and they're dying in the process.
Dying. That's not funny.
A new report shows significantly more methane gas could be leaking into the atmosphere than previously thought.
Yes.
The study found that a device used to measure methane escaping from natural gas facilities was consistently underreporting the emissions as a result of a technical glitch.
Nathan, I hear you on this, but they only had one instrument in the whole damn world that was measuring methane.
Well, a type of instrument.
I'm kidding. I assume so.
It's not
one instrument. This one damn instrument? Dude, that doesn't seem very efficient. All right.
The study's findings could mean that natural gas fracking, which emits methane, is more detrimental to the climate than previously thought, and that climate change could be happening at an even faster rate than current estimates. Every week, we find something else that says climate change is happening at a faster rate.
Yeah, and by the way, that whole thing about fracking, is this has been under dispute for a while. As the industry says so much of the percentage of the gas is methane gas is escaping from the instruments or from the device. And people who have tested, a lot of the outside groups that have tested, say there's more. There's actually more than the industry is saying is escaping. And now you're telling me the instruments that they're using to measure that are underreporting.
Right.
So, and by the way, methane is, I think, 100 times more lethal as a climate changing gas than is regular hydrocarbons.
I think it absorbs or holds more of the nasty stuff.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So This is like exponentially more.
Exponentially.
Exponentially more troublesome.
Exponentially.
Yeah, just what I said.
Yeah, I know.
And
I just want people to understand. I know I mispronounce things.
No,
this
okay.
isn't a direct criticism of you.
No, but.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of climate change, yes. in the city of Bandar Mashar,
yes.
Iran, the air this week felt like 165 degrees Fahrenheit.
I know.
That's right. It's an index, of course. It wasn't really 165. It was only 115.
Oh, 115.
But,
okay. yeah.
but it had a dew point temperature of 90, which means the dew point is the temperature at which the air can no longer hold water vapor when mixed with it. And the higher that is, the hotter it feels. So we have a lot of people out there not feeling very well in 165 degree heat. Also in other news from hell on earth.
By the way, that's approaching the temperature that we talk about when we talk about Mars. They talk about there's a temperature variance.
Or baking muffins. Yeah.
Getting baked. Yeah. But no, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is. A vaporizer probably hits it up to.
Yeah.
No, it's about 350.
But anyway, no. But that then they talk about the temperature variance on Mars. You know, they say it's a wide range, and it's practical. It's inhospitable to human life.
Yeah.
But those are the temperatures that they talk about on Mars.
Mars.
165.
We're gonna be Mars. And in Tokyo, at least 25 people died amid record-breaking heat. Yesterday marked Tokyo's eighth consecutive day of temperatures over 95 degrees, making it the longest such heat wave on record. And in another sign of why climate change deniers are idiots, Puerto Rico is also facing an extreme drought. Dry conditions have prompted the government to extend water rationing, meaning a total of 400,000 residents will now receive water only every third day. Now, my get to that here, and you all, and people will go, oh, no, not here.
No. Whoever says that is wrong. For rationing water
yeah.
in California?
Yeah.
You know, as I said earlier, we're on track for an
whoever
El Nino.
Said
it looks
that
like
it won't that, happen is
it,
wrong.
Is wrong.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
yeah.
wrong. I'm sure the state and local water districts are drawing
have
up very, yeah, very much yeah. so. They have to. We go another
you know,
winter
just
without
shut
much.
Off the water in areas. They just shut off
yeah.
the water.
Oh, I keep saying that.
And when you turn on your tap
and
there's
doesn't,
nothing coming out.
I'm telling you, there are going to be people in the streets real fast when that happens.
Yeah.
And
where's my water?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just go down to that golf course on the corner.
I know.
Where all these rich asshats from Newport Beach yeah. are sucking up the precious liquid.
Or you and your front lawn
yeah.
Can't wait to run the sprinklers.
Or
every day,
you and your beef.
Yeah, or you and your beef. Yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see how people do react and to what degree they embrace this because yeah. it's coming. It's just going to be politically, it's going to be a very interesting thing to watch.
More news from hell, Mike.
Yeah.
Right here at home in California, the Rocky Fire, undoubtedly named after Rocket J. Squirrel, the largest of many drought-fueled wildfires, has grown to 106 square miles, probably much bigger than that now. This is as of last night, I think.
Yeah.
It's crossing highways and defying attempts to get it under control. Unprecedented is a good word to describe that fire.
It's creating its own weather systems,
yeah.
they were saying, right?
Yeah.
With the combination of this one and I think a couple of other wildfires
yep.
are creating a unique weather system around it.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, man.
And the smoke in the air is not good. I
no.
mean, besides everything else,
yeah, that's
you
right.
don't want a fire.
That's
you don't
right.
want to be dropping your water supply on a fire. Mm-hmm. Plus, the smoke in the air is not good for anything.
And by the way, in case somebody has forgotten, it was 5 years ago this summer when the station fire occurred in the Angeles Forest, which was the largest
yeah.
wildfire in the history of this area. So,
okay. You're laughing, Mike.
No, I'm laughing
because it's
better than crying. That's why.
I got some happy news.
Okay, good.
From London, a former UBS and Citigroup trader was sentenced to 14 years in jail. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of delayed reaction.
You know,
Mahler,
way to wake up, Mahler. Yeah, I know you haven't been paying that much
right.
attention.
I said jail, Mahler. Yeah. This is Tom Hayes is the first person to be convicted by a jury. There he goes.
Okay, bye.
Very good, Mahler.
I'm glad
of
to
a jury of rigging LIBOR. You know that stuff.
Yeah.
The interest rate, which underpins trillions of global transactions. They choose the rate. They sit there and look into a Ouija ball or whatever.
Well, they get together and they say, what do you want it to be?
I mean, how much do you want to screw people by? How much can we get away with?
Theoretically, it's supposed to be based on market forces and things that are happening, and world oil prices and the price of lettuce and all the rest of it. And they get together and they decide how much they're going to charge other banks to loan money to each other.
They're idiots.
But they've been doing this. It's a casino is what it is.
Yeah, the stock market is a casino. Well, I was reading something yesterday, completely off topic, but... Disney announced that it was kind of concerned because so many people are unplugging from cable. And they are. Duh. This has been going on for 5 years, but the market dropped considerably.
Right.
These people, where are they taking their cues from?
Right.
From Disney.
Right.
All you have to do, I mean, at KUCI, we've been knowing about this for years, for probably about 8 years, that people are unplugging from cable.
Yeah.
And they're streaming.
Because they're getting screwed, first of all, with cable.
But meanwhile, the market goes down, and Obama will probably do something.
To prop up the industry?
Yeah.
He'll give them a subsidy of some kind?
The latest round of talks on the Trans-Pacific Partnership wrapped up in Hawaii without a final deal. Yay!
Yeah, I know.
This is good. The trade pact, which is being negotiated in secret, involves 12 Pacific Rim nations and about 40% of the global economy.
Yeah.
And, of course, Congress granted Obama that fast track thing.
Right. So that means you can't attach any riders.
Yeah.
It's an up or down vote.
Yeah.
They limit debate,
et
cetera, et cetera.
And Public Citizen said it's good news that this failed because it means that this deal, which is a threat to jobs, wages, safe food, and affordable medicines.
Yeah,
and much,
affordable
much more.
Medicines. Yeah,
not only that, but it's we said this every week now. It'll allow corporations to sue nations if they can't make what they think is a decent profit on that nation.
Right. Or their perceived profit, even.
Yeah,
yeah, they're.
So any regulations you might have.
Yeah.
To get rid of fossil fuels or to make things a little bit safer for you that might cut down on the profits of General Electric. General Electric
you
can turn around and sue you.
Yeah, they can sue you for what they would have made, according to their accountants. By the way, I'm hoping that there's another government of these 12 that's more attuned to people's needs than the U.S. government apparently is. Because I'm hoping that Japan or one of these other countries will be the ones who essentially scuttle this thing.
I've heard that we're the leader.
Yeah, we're the leader. The leader in corporate takeovers.
Yeah,
is what we're
much,
the leader in. So that's a good thing.
And in news from Yemen, a military brigade from the United Arab Emirates arrived in the southern port city of Aden. The brigade marks the first time a large number of foreign ground troops have entered the conflict, and the United Arab Emirates soldiers are part of a U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition that is fighting the Houthi rebels there.
We're giving them money. Is that what you're saying?
They're Iran-backed Houthi rebels.
Well,
so
yes, they
aligned,
are. Yes,
least.
They are. They're Shia-related, and they're not. They are not. What do they call it? Wahhabists that the Saudis bought back and et cetera, et cetera. So,
and fine news from the Middle East. President Obama authorized U.S. airstrikes to defend U.S.-trained Syrian rebels who come under attack, including the Syrian government. Fewer than 60 rebels have completed the U.S. training program aimed at defeating the Islamic State. 60. 60
I know.
Of them. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. The first known U.S. airstrike to defend the forces from militants was launched last week. Meanwhile, a report by the independent monitoring group Air Wars estimates that U.S.-led airstrikes targeting ISIL in Iraq and Syria have killed at least 459 civilians since the bombings began a year ago. The U.S.-led coalition has launched nearly 6,000 airstrikes in the two countries. Thus far, the U.S. has acknowledged the airstrikes have killed only, and you put up two fingers, Mike, and that's not for peace. That's for they only acknowledge killing two civilians.
Yeah.
Now, they had 6,000 airstrikes.
Right. I know. You know what? I could throw if I had a helicopter and I threw firecrackers out of the helicopter, 6,000 of them.
Yeah,
I'd kill at least two people.
Yeah, well,
accidentally, obviously. Yeah. But come on, we're dropping 1,000-pound bombs into villages.
And the Obama administration resumed formal security talks with Egypt for the first time. The talks come days after this is not the first time ever, but the first time in years. The talks come days after the United States delivered 8 F-16 warplanes to Egypt. the first since fully lifting a weapons freeze in March.
Well, fantastic.
So, yeah, well, they got more weapons in Egypt.
So the dictatorial goons, the generals who run Egypt, who have been basically slaughtering and imprisoning almost anyone that isn't a full-throated support of them, we're now giving them a lot of new weapons.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Well, we want them. I don't want to be friends with them.
If I'm sounding cynical today, I am so sorry.
Why don't we give them like Big Macs, like coupons for Big Macs and stuff like that?
Target coupons.
Target. I like that.
Because first of all, they're really cool looking.
Put them on like a gift list.
Yeah, gift list, Target. Yeah, just go in, get whatever you want. And I didn't mean that in some military way. No, we're not targeting them.
No,
we
no.
just want to put them on
Walmart.
A, Walmart. Okay.
Walmart.
Pick
and
your
maybe Walmart can use
store.
Some of that money to to help.
Yeah, to not target.
Raise the wages of people that are getting food stamps in the U.S. Oh, it's a wonderful life. Israel arrested and jailed a Jewish settler for 6 months without charges or trial. The detention comes as Israel attempts to crack down on Jewish extremism following a firebombing of a Palestinian home in the West Bank last week, which killed an 18-month-old baby.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Israeli authorities arrested Mayer Ettinger, the grandson of Mayor Kahane, for his involvement in activities in extremist Jewish organizations. Mayor Kahane is considered the father of right-wing Jewish extremism.
Yes.
He founded Israel's anti-Arab Hatch party, political party, which called for the forced removal of all Palestinians.
Yeah, he was an American, by the way. He spent most of his life in New York, and he was...
And he died in 1990. He was murdered in 1990.
Yeah, he was murdered. Now, that whole thing, who knows who... I mean, that's one of those... I don't think they'll ever solve that case, but interesting guy.
Yeah, and in Jerusalem, an ultra-Orthodox Jewish man stabbed 6 people at a gay pride parade 1 month after completing a 10-year prison sentence for stabbing 3 people at a gay pride parade.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay.
In news from Africa, one UN peacekeeper died and 8 were wounded in an attack at the Central African Republic. This is the 8th death of a UN peacekeeper since the force began its mission in Central Africa nearly 1 year ago. And in Mexico City, thousands marched through the streets Sunday to denounce the murder of photojournalist Ruben Espinoza.
Mm-hmm.
Espinoza was killed by gunmen alongside human rights activist Nadia Vera and 3 other women in an apartment in Mexico City. Both Espinoza and Vera have been working in the southern state of Veracruz, which has seen increasingly deadly violence against journalists and activists.
Mm.
And now it's time for the migrant report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
An overcrowding fishing boat carrying as many as 700 migrants capsized in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Libya. At least 25 people died, and as many as 100 more are feared to have drowned, according to Italian officials. They did rescue about 400. Okay. Human rights groups say at least 2,000 migrants died this year trying to cross the Mediterranean. 2,000 dead trying to get out of the hellhole that they live in to, I guess, go to better lands. Meanwhile, Australian officials announced they have turned away more than 600 asylum seekers at sea under harsh border controls enacted by Prime Minister Tony Abbott. In addition to turning away boats, Australia also sent migrants who do reach Australian shores to long-term detention camps.
Yeah.
So if you're lucky enough to get into Australia...
Welcome to the...
Manzanar.
Yeah, jail down under.
More than 100,000 French citizens signed a petition demanding the reopening of a nude beach on the French Riviera after the local government closed it in advance of a visit from the King of Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, what, the precious little king can't see what?
What, can't bikini-clad women? Of course he can, but whatever.
Yeah.
And
a Saudi farmer was offered $400,000 for a sheep whose coat had the markings that resembled the word Muhammad in Arabic.
Okay.
So they have stuff like that over there. They have Jesus on toast, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah, they have Muhammad on a sheep.
That's the version of Jesus on toast.
And the man who had been authorized to build England's first women's museum in honor of women.
Wow.
Yeah. Right there in London.
Soon. They're getting around
location.
To writing
to
a museum on women.
Museum.
Okay, so.
Instead, he changed the whole concept around. It's now a museum dedicated to Jack the Ripper. And this is true.
Oh, my God.
The neighborhood is a little bit upset about that.
Yeah, well, is it Jack the Ripper? Didn't he kill women?
Yeah, that's what he killed.
I was just saying, this is kill women, as if I'm not mistaken. So, okay, all right. Oh, my God. We have issues.
You have any international stuff there, Mike?
Oh, boy. No, I think we'll be good. Fine. I think we're going good.
What about you, Mahler? You want to move to secret stuff? Yeah. Secret stuff it is, then. The Washington Post is reporting the FBI has opened a preliminary probe into the security of the private email setup Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton used while she served as Secretary of State. You know, again, this is silliness, I think. I mean, I understand their security concerns, but I also understand that this is email and there's so much other stuff that we don't know about.
All right.
There's so much other stuff that goes on in meetings everywhere.
Yeah.
We can't even find out who went to a meeting to determine who's going to get $1 billion from the Koch brothers.
Right. And we're not allowed to know what's in a major international trade agreement that's going to affect all of our lives for decades to come. We're not allowed to know that, but yeah. So,
but we really need to know
what Hillary
said in an email.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this is the thing. And I agree with you, and I can't imagine that a sitting Democratic president with a brand new attorney general would go after a candidate who's presumed to be the candidate for president in a major political party at this point. I'm not defending that. I'm just saying I can't imagine. It's hard to imagine that.
Well, there's
happening.
Just a lot of political.
Well, the Republicans,
if
Jeb Bush were president, I could imagine this investigation going forward. But I can't imagine it going forward under Barack Obama. But then again, I always wonder about that because I know Obama did not get along very well.
Did we ever investigate George Bush?
No.
Or Dick Cheney?
No, you're absolutely right.
Or Donald Rumsfeld?
That's a great point. Yeah. All of them. Richard Wolff.
For actually getting us into a war that we're still trying to get out of?
Yeah. No, I know. All of them. All of those clowns. No.
We have to find out what Hillary said in an email. We don't even, there's nothing there that we even know that's wrong.
I know.
We just know that she didn't go through the government, that she had.
I know, but I can tell you what's going to happen. I know, but for the next 6 months at least, this will be nonstop fodder for Fox
News.
That's
what this is.
And they will be talking about it in connection with Benghazi and her cover up. It will hurt her, though. I honestly, because I think her support is broad across the Democratic Party in these primaries, but I think it's about an inch deep. And I think if they think that she's flawed or that she may not win, I think one reason why Joe Biden has tipped his toe into the water to run is because this could be something that there's no love lost, I don't think, among Democrats for Hillary Clinton. She's just I think she's the presumptive choice because it's just her turn. Yeah. I don't really think that we love her. And so if something happens to really ding her, I think they will just ditch her in a second.
But meanwhile, emails.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it'd be nice if we all knew, but there are so many other things that I'd rather know.
Completely.
Also, more than this is secret stuff, again, more than 6 months after the CIA inspector general resigned, Obama has yet to nominate a replacement, prompting mounting concerns on Capitol Hill that the delay may be affecting sensitive internal investigations. That's what they say, including a probe into an errant drone strike in Pakistan that killed American hostage Warren Weinstein.
Well, I didn't catch the first part. Who is he not appointed?
The Inspector General. Inspector General.
Gotcha.
In other words,
gotcha.
Somebody who will look into the affairs of the CIA when it looks like they've misbehaved.
Right. But that's so surprising for an agency that's so transparent that they they're dragging their feet on appointing an oversight guy.
And also, former CIA executive director Buzzy Krongard told BBC that the CIA did engage in torture. We knew that. A lot of people said it, but this is Buzzy. He's an executive director.
Yeah,
when asked if he thought waterboarding and painful stress positions were torture, Buzzy said, well, let's put it this way. It is meant to make him as uncomfortable as possible, so I assume, without getting into semantic, that's torture. And I'm comfortable with saying that.
I like Buzzy.
Yeah.
I think he's spot on here.
A lot of comfort going on there.
Yeah.
We make them uncomfortable. Yeah. He's comfortable with saying that.
Yeah, he's comfortable. Apparently, that's an important word to him, personally. He likes his comfort. I assume he's got a lounge, one of those bark loungers at home. You know, you can imagine Buzzy in his bark lounger watching Cops. Yeah,
it upsets Mahler.
I know. Yeah. I know it does.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM, Irvine, California, on the web at kuci.org.
Oh, Mahler.
And now it's time for Drones in the News. That's right. Good for you, Mahler. Pentagon officials say the United States launched its first drone strike into Syria from Turkey's Incirlik Air Base. I had it all phonetically spelled and it just threw me off. Turkey opened the air base to a U.S. strike aircraft last month following the deadly attack in the Kurdish city of Sirik. The airstrike comes as the U.S. and Turkey are planning a joint campaign to push ISIL from the 60-mile-long strip of northern Syria along the Turkish border. So we can launch drone strikes out of this new base there. Also, an American Airlines flight descending toward Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport encountered a drone flying about 100 feet below its nose. This is happening all the time now. And you know it's just headed for something nasty.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. And prison guards at the Mansfield Correctional Institute in Mansfield, Ohio, responded to a fight that broke out on the North Recreation Yard in the afternoon on July 29th. And after authorities reviewed surveillance footage, it was determined that a drone had dropped a package of drugs on the lawn, which started the brawl. And it really escalated when this package, which contained 144 grams of tobacco. They measured tobacco in grams.
Sorry.
Was it loose tobacco? 65.4 grams of marijuana and 6.6 grams of heroin. It doesn't sound like that much, does it?
I'm not sure about that.
An inmate then tossed the package from the north recreational lawn to the south recreational lawn, and that got everybody going. They had something going on there. It was supposed to go to Hunker Down. They tossed it over the fence to Jimmy Bob got it.
Yeah.
And then the fight broke out.
And Freddie Bob had made plans for that evening. He was pretty upset.
Not to mention what Bobby Bob did to Freddie Bob.
I don't even want to know.
You don't want to,
I just
really.
Don't want to know. And it's what Jimmy Bob was planning to do to Freddie Bob. Yeah, exactly.
It frightens Mahler. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm sorry, Mahler. I know that is upsetting. Oof. I know. Yeah.
In domestic news, President Obama unveiled it.
Okay.
He lifted the curtain on it.
He
put out the drum roll and his long-awaited climate change plan.
Well, okay, thank you. That's only 6 years late. The reason I'm specific about my years, Barack Obama went to Copenhagen in 2009 for the climate change conference, and there was a deal on the table, and the U.S. was going to sign it, and then China was going to sign it, and then China got cold feet, and the U.S. backed out. This was a moment we were going to look back on when we could have been doing a lot of this stuff 5 years ago and say to ourselves, why didn't we? And I really, really...
I don't know if you saw an article recently. I was naming the worst president in the last 50 years.
Yeah,
worst to best.
Yeah, I did not.
You know who got worst?
I hope Ronald Reagan got worst.
Jimmy Carter. Now, I say this only because Jimmy Carter would have undoubtedly dealt with climate change. In fact, without even knowing it, he was beginning to deal with climate change because he was moving us into alternate energy.
And he was wearing sweaters. And,
yeah.
I mean, I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding.
No, he was.
Yeah.
He wasn't turning the heat on so much in the White House.
Right.
And he had solar panels on the roof.
Yeah, exactly.
And that asshat Ronald Reagan tore them off the roof of the White House.
The first week he was in office.
To show them that we will have none of this silly energy conservation.
We are America, and we're going to just drill until we spill.
Yeah.
And so that's what he did.
Yeah.
I know. So who did this? Who said he was the worst president? Some stupid...
I forget. It was just one of those poll things where people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
The Hudson Institute.
What do you think?
Yeah, the American Enterprise Institute. Oh, these guys. Forget it. Yeah.
Ronald Reagan is
the worst president in my lifetime. Truly. Ronald Reagan.
George Bush is mine. We must have lived in different lifetimes.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan was a tipping point. George Bush was kind of the culmination of the tipping point.
I think for me, and I wouldn't disagree with that, except to say that Ronald Reagan is so lionized, so he's benighted.
That you just want to take him down.
I just feel like he deserves to be called the worst president in the last 100
years.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Speaking at the White House, Obama announced plans to cut carbon emissions from U.S. power plants by 32% from 2005 levels by 2030. It's not enough.
No.
The plan will force states to address climate change by pushing them to act more like California, essentially, which is not enough.
Which is not enough, but you're right. California at least is doing something.
The Clean Power Plan poses significant challenges for states that rely on coal-fired power plants for much of their electricity, but California has practically eliminated coal. We never were that dependent on it. But
well, we do. Yeah. There's a coal-fired plant in Arizona that L.A. City gets a lot of the power from, so that needs to go away. Yeah, I'm just.
No, really. No,
I'm not trying to beat up on L.A. City, but they do.
No. Good to know.
Yeah.
And a Republican bid to end federal funding for Planned Parenthood failed in the Senate. This is just silliness. It was surprisingly, the vote was close, 53 to 46, 7 votes short of the 60 needed to advance the defunding bill.
In this new day and age of supermajorities, they needed 60.
The bid came after an anti-choice group released secretly recorded, highly edited videos of Planned Parenthood employees discussing how they share fetal tissue with researchers, a practice Planned Parenthood says it's performed legally and never for profit.
And we have to explain all the things that these are, in fact, aborted fetuses. Everybody signed off on it, the moms, the doctors, and by the way, this research has been instrumental in finding some or moving closer to solutions on a lot of diseases. And
the anti-abortion people are not so much pro-life as they're pro a particular kind of life that's. I understand some of it, but
no, I do too. There's a squeamish. There's always the ick factor, and I don't mean to downplay. That was the wrong choice of words.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to in some way celebrate the end of an aborted fetus or something. But at the same time, the reality is there. It is. There's something that can be done that can be positive about it.
Yeah,
with it. And why shouldn't we?
Meanwhile, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal ended the state's Medicaid contract with Planned Parenthood, citing the undercover videos. This comes despite the fact that the only two Planned Parenthood clinics in Louisiana do not provide abortions.
Yeah.
So he's going to defund them in his state, even though they don't even do what it is that that he's upset about.
What's so distressing about this? These are just applause lines at a campaign rally.
Yeah.
They impact people's lives. They dramatically impact the lives of women and for all the wrong reasons.
And not only that, over the weekend, an unidentified vandal poured gasoline on the newly laid foundation at the New Orleans Planned Parenthood site and set fire to the security guard's car. Yeah. So it brings up violence, too.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
In areas we don't need violence. We need talk.
I drove by a Planned Parenthood building. It's in the area. And there's bulletproof glass all over the building. They have guards. These are women who are going there. 98%, 97% are going there for services that are completely unrelated to any sort of abortion or anything. They're going there for mammograms. They're going there for health exams. And they have to go walk into a bulletproof building to do that.
The Securities and Exchange Commission voted to adopt a rule that will require public companies to publish the pay ratio between CEOs and their workers' median pay. The United States has the highest ratio between CEO and worker pay of any country. On average, CEOs in the U.S. make 350 times more than their workers. And it's often
on average.
On average, it's much higher if you go to some reports. That's just foul. A federal appeals panel ruled Texas's strict voter ID law discriminates against African Americans and Latinos and violates the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Texas voter ID law is among the strictest in the country, requiring all voters to bring a government-issued photo ID to the polls. And the appeals panel ruled the law has a discriminatory effect on voters of color.
I don't know if you have that in your report. There's something like in the last, 10 years or more of reported voter fraud. There were like seven cases.
No, it's just silly.
And
it's,
none of them
it's all about fear.
Yeah.
It's all about the perception that maybe this country will be taken over by thousands of people who will vote illegally. It's never happened.
No.
And it never will happen.
No, not even.
We can even tell, but we're going to put a lot of money into doing stuff like that because of Tea Party.
Yeah, well,
dimwits.
Yeah, it goes back. Let's go back to 1992 or 96 when Loretta Sanchez was elected to be the congressman from the Santa Ana district.
Yeah,
and Bob Dornan, the sitting congressman, was screaming about massive voter fraud on the part of of illegal immigrants who had been bussed in, literally bussed in from Tijuana, is what he was saying.
Yeah.
And they found instances where 30 people lived in a building, and therefore it's obvious that it was voter fraud. Turns out it was a convent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, this is the kind of, this is the sort of fear that the accusation sticks, but nobody knows it was a convent.
Yeah, and nobody pays attention to the actual data.
Yeah, no, it's
no voter fraud.
Yeah. So anyways.
In news from Ohio, the mother of Sandra Bland filed a lawsuit over the death of her daughter, who was found dead in a Waller County, Texas jail cell last month. Bland was arrested on July 10th by Texas State Trooper Brian Insignia, who alleged that Bland failed to signal a lane change.
That he was on her ass, by the way, riding on. She was so concerned about how close he was, she changed lanes. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, in news from North Carolina, the trial has begun for a white police officer who fatally shot an unarmed African-American man who was seeking help after a car crash in 2013.
Yeah.
Remember, we talked about this guy. Randall Carrick was the white police officer who is facing charges of voluntary manslaughter for allegedly shooting 24-year-old Jonathan Farrell. According to prosecutors, Farrell had sought help from a nearby homeowner after a car crash. This was just a really sad thing.
Yeah.
He sees a car crash. He goes to a homeowner. They think, because he's black, that it's a threat, that she's being robbed, the person at the door. And they call the police. And when the officer arrived, one pointed a taser at Farrell's chest. Literally, the laser was on this guy's chest.
Yeah.
So he ran. I mean, that would be one reaction you might have. You're thinking, I'm going to be electrified here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
Yeah, I'm doing the right thing by trying to find help for somebody.
And he ran and hid between two cars and was shot dead.
On the officer, there was an officer who was right there when between the two cars and shot him.
And shot him dead.
What about, do you have that stuff about the guy about the gin? They found the gin?
Oh, they found the gin, yeah.
Well, no, I don't have, I was hoping you had it.
If you have the story, I didn't know. I thought, I don't want to report every little nuance of these stories. The gin was
well, he was pulled over. There was some kind of a scuttle. I'll find it in a second. The guy, the African-American driving the car, said that it was air freshener in this bottle.
Yeah, and it was.
And it turned out to be.
Yeah.
The cop said it was gin, and he pulled him over. Drunk driving, or he said he was drinking. Yeah. Ends up the guy gets killed. And it turns out it was air freshener, by the way.
A federal judge overturned a ban.
Go ahead.
You want to say anything?
Yeah, real quick.
Give the guy's name, at least.
It was a bottle in this Sam DeBose, who was fatally shot by University of Cincinnati officer Ray Tenzing, contained air freshener, not alcohol. It was Tenzing, who was white, stopped DeBose, who was an African-American, July 19th, for not having a front license plate.
Yeah.
Police body cam showed that Tenzing asked to see the bottle during the traffic stop, which was labeled gin, which, in fairness to the officer, but which DeBose said it contained air freshener. Minutes later, Tenzing fatally shot DeBose in the head and because he objected to taking off his seatbelt.
Yeah,
so there you go.
A federal judge overturned a ban on undercover filming in Idaho factory farms, ruling the so-called ag-gag law violates the right to free speech. So this is good. This is a good thing. The agricultural industry has successfully lobbied for the law in 2012 after animal rights activists filmed animal cruelty inside of Idaho's dairy farms, including workers kicking cows and dragging them with chains attached to their necks, and activists say they hope the ruling will spread.
Yeah.
Other states will do it, which is cool. That was just a ridiculous law. I mean, it's a horrible law.
Yeah, it's a horrible law.
You couldn't stand across the street from a slaughterhouse and film what was going on.
I know. And yet, I mean, if that's the standard, and I'm not agreeing with it, but if that's the standard, why are people allowed to stand across the street from women's healthcare clinics and film all the people going in there?
Yeah.
It's a violation of their privacy.
Yeah. Yeah, Mother. I don't blame you.
How are we doing? What
is it,
Mother? We all right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know if you saw the porn that was on TV last night. It was on national TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, Vice President Joe Biden is talking about running for president.
Yeah, there you go.
And the New York Times reports his allies have begun reaching out to potential supporters.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And news analysis shows fewer than 400 families are responsible for almost half the money raised so far in the 2016 presidential campaign. The vast majority of the $388 million raised so far is being channeled to super PACs, which can accept unlimited donations. Yeah. That's what's going on. That's thanks to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That's thanks to a lot of really crap rulings by the Supreme
Citizens
Court.
Citizens United and other court rulings.
The concentration of donors is more pronounced among Republican candidates and their super PACs who have raised more than half their funds from about 130 families.
Yeah.
A separate tally by the Associated Press found nearly 60 donations of $1 million or more accounted for about a third of the total donations raised so far in the presidential elections.
And not to be indelicate, but the election is 16 months away or so, give or take.
Yeah.
We're still more than a year away from
crazy.
The election. And there's hundreds of millions of dollars that have been raised already.
Yeah.
So you did see did you see any of the porn?
No, I missed the porn show last night. Did you watch it?
My dad did.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did.
In fact, he watched it twice. I love my dad. I don't mean to disparage my father here, but
He watched it twice.
Watched it twice.
You can't get enough of those lies, can you?
When you see that man-on-man action like that, you can't help it. We're talking I know, exactly. You know, it was the Republican debate. There was, I guess there was a warm-up action before the main event, before all the male-on-male action started with Donald Trump and Scott Walker and Ben Carson and all these idiots. But my dad watched it twice. He was so excited. I came home from work and he's on the couch watching it. And then later on, they were doing a replay. Uh-huh. Wow, it was just pretty intense.
As corporate campaign spending soars, a number of journalists from prominent media outlets accepted an invitation to a gathering of top Republican donors on the condition they not publicly name any of the attendees without permission. The Washington Post and Politico were among the news outlets to attend the event sponsored by billionaire brothers Charles and David Koch at the St. Regis Monarch Beach Resort in Dana Point, California, right down the road.
Yeah,
about a block from my dad's house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I went down there last night and urinated on a post. I didn't know what else to do. That was my protest.
That's one of those protests that I think should have been documented. I would have loved to have seen it.
Well, I can show it to you later
I'd
on.
Love to see
speaking
it.
Of porn, the Koch brothers' operation has vowed to spend $888 million on the 2016 election cycle.
Yeah.
That's $1 billion.
Yeah, that's give or take.
When it's over with, it'll be $1 billion.
You know they will. They'll get down to the last 2 weeks, and they'll throw in a couple $100 million more.
Yeah, and there were protesters down there photographing people going in and out.
Speaking of that,
good for them. Yep, that's the way I feel too, Mahler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And a divided appellate court panel in Richmond, Virginia, ruled that citizens do not give up their privacy rights just because their mobile phone providers know where to reach them. In other words, this is a good ruling. Yeah, just because they can track you down and get you a phone call does not mean that your privacy is, you've given that up.
Yeah.
The decision is the strongest assertion of the Fourth Amendment rights of mobile phone users out of three appellate court decisions on the matter, setting up a likely Supreme Court hearing. And that should be interesting.
Oh, that should be fun.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun while it lasted. Let's put it that way.
And in New Hampshire, Huckleberry Finn was arrested for sexual assault.
Oh, tell me more.
There's nothing much. A
guy
named Huckleberry Finn.
More about that.
Somebody named their kid Huckleberry Finn.
Okay, and he was
arrested. And years later, Huck didn't turn out really well. You know? That's it.
Wow, Huck.
Got any other
I wish
juicy
I did.
Bits?
No, it's... Oh!
Go ahead, say something.
I don't know what to say. No, I'm sorry. I sent you a story earlier in the week, and I didn't know it was that old.
Well, the story was new, but it was a story reporting on the fact that they discovered 4 years ago that fish communicate to each other through electricity.
Yeah.
Which I think is fascinating because that's what we're doing right here at KUCI.
We are. Uh-huh. I used to have gills.
Really?
A long time ago.
Really?
We all had gills at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So that's maybe where we got the idea for electricity.
Yeah.
You ever think about that?
Yeah. We were fish.
We were fish.
And in the fishy part of our brain.
Yeah, I said,
it was going boo. Yeah.
And so, you know what? I'd like to replicate that. I think it's a great way to communicate, as is KUCI 88.9 FM, Irvine, California. And that basically fish, I guess near the base of their tail, there's some kind of a electro thing that when they, I assume, when they move their tail around, things happen. But they're communicating with each other.
Yeah.
through electrical impulses.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm just, you know.
It's great.
The more we find out. All right. That's it.
It excites me.
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree, Mahler. It's pretty funny
me
stuff.
And, me and Mahler have not been getting along well this week, and I just want for the record that he's just been pissing me off all week. So,
wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's leave it with this. And finally, Yuan Yuan. That's a giant Taiwanese panda was suspected of faking pregnancy. Yeah, in order to receive a private room, air conditioning, fruit, and buns.
You can subscribe to the Weekly Signals Weekly Review podcast at weeklysignals.com. Weeklysignals.com. Subscribe now.